Accession number 28351, Wheel 18.
Lord Peter Blaker, Wheel 17. And so, really, to finish off and link up with the beginning, which of course started before World War II, when we started this interview as a young schoolboy.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you about your research. And, you know, I know you've followed and you're still very involved with it and have been since the end of the war. So I wonder if you could tell me what the situation has been with it and what it is today.
The regiment was the Argyll and Southern Highlanders of Canada, sister regiment of the Argylls of Scotland, following exactly the same traditions with the same uniform, the same, a different cap badge, but otherwise almost exactly the same as the Argylls of Scotland. I'm very proud of this regiment, which I joined for the first time only in Normandy. I'd been in a different regiment earlier, which was broken up. Anyway, there I was with the Argylls, who came from the same part of Ontario as my former regiment. And it had some very serious battles. Its first big success was in Normandy when it faced a large hill in an area where a Canadian regiment, a day or two before the events I'm about to talk about, had been almost entirely put in the bag by the Germans because it had misread the map. So the situation needed to be rescued. And the commanding officer, instead of launching a daylight attack, led the regiment silently up the hillside without being detected at all by the Germans. For the Germans to discover in the morning that the regiment was there in a dominating position overlooking the Germans. Very big success. So that was really my first introduction to the regiment, and then we swept right through France at great speed after the Battle of Falaise, in which we were involved, and found ourselves in Belgium, occupied Bruges, which was surrendered without fighting, I'm very glad to say, because it's a beautiful city. We found ourselves on the Leopold Canal, which was really on the border between Belgium and Holland.
I remember you did tell me about that.
Did I? Yes. Well, perhaps I don't need to go through the wartime activities.
It's rather nice, you know, these sort of sweep of events.
Yes, that's right. Well, that was not an enormous action by my regiment. And then we went round through Antwerp up towards Holland, and there I got wounded quite seriously. Very fortunate wound I had, and I was in hospital, as I've explained earlier. And had time to think, and that's really what led to my...
It was a very important landmark in your life.
Yes, yes. I was incredibly lucky with the wound, which was in my hip and didn't disable me and didn't lose a limb or anything like that. Anyway, so it took me a long time to recover, and I had time to think and read, for which I've been grateful ever since. And they went on, I didn't go back to the regiment, they went on and had some very nasty battles in Germany. And... in the Allied victory parade in Berlin at the end of the war, the regimental pipe band representing the Canadian pipe bands. There were many Highland regiments in Canada, tremendous Scottish tradition. My guess is that in the infantry, almost half the regiments were Highland regiments wearing the kilt. Anyway, we had a very good kilt too, it's a very beautiful one. So I had very little connection with them for quite a long time after the war, having decided to stay in England. Of course, the regiment had gone back and all its members had gone back to Canada, apart from myself, I think. But sometime later, I got a new blazer, and I needed some blazer buttons. So I said to myself, what about seeing if I can get some regimental buttons? So I wrote to the quartermaster of the regiment in Hamilton, Ontario, and said, what about some blazer buttons? By return of post, came back to blaze the buttons as a gift. I didn't even have to pay for them. And so that established a new link with the regiment, which I've kept up ever since. The regiment does, it's active in this country as well as in Canada. In Canada, it's, I think, the biggest, what would be called a militia regiment, that's their territorial regiment. Immensely good spirit. And it has, of course, had people taking part, individuals taking part in operations in Europe and other places in recent years, because that is the fashion now to call on the reserve regiments, whether in this country or in Canada. I attended a mess dinner in 1989 where I proposed the toast of the regiment, and as I was saying earlier, the traditions were exactly the same as they would have been in Scotland. The piper playing during dinner and drinking from the quake at the end of it, and so on, and playing the appropriate tunes. So that I'm still in touch with it. And recently I was involved in a small way in the preparations for the Queen to present new colours to the regiment, which she did in 2002, which was the centenary of the foundation of the regiment. And she did this at Hamilton, Ontario, to a mass of people. In that stadium, the Hamilton Stadium, you wouldn't have been worried about any lack of loyalty to the Crown. On the part of the Canadians, enormously enthusiastic, and a very moving presentation of the colours. The Queen has actually been the Colonel-in-Chief of the regiment for 50 years, and the regiment did send a small party over in the centenary year, just a few years ago, to greet her in Scotland at the time of the Edinburgh Tattoo, or the Edinburgh Festival. And the regiment has, I think, pipe band has played several times in that tattoo, pipe band. So the links are still preserved, I'm very glad to say.
I think you're going to finish by describing a cartoon.
Yes.
So
well, I'm glad you gave me that opportunity. It's something which I remember seeing quite a long time ago. And it was drawn in 1919, just after the end of the Versailles Peace Conference. And it consisted of a picture of Clemenceau, who was the French leader, Lloyd George, who was the British Prime Minister, and Wilson, who was the American President, standing in one corner of the picture talking to one another. And in the opposite corner there was a baby on the floor wearing a sash which bore the legend Class of 1940. And the caption under the picture was Peace or Cannon Fodder. And this was in 1919, 20 years exactly before the Second World War. But that's what it was forecasting. An uncanny piece of forecasting. It was by a man called Will Dyson, who was awarded with the prize for the best cartoon in the world, I suppose, until then, or at that time. And I think it deserved that. It's the most amazing insight by this cartoonist for the Daily Herald, that he should foresee the consequences, the baleful consequences, the terrible consequences of the mishandling of the peace negotiations at the treaty for the Treaty of Versailles, which was a treaty of revenge against Germany. But then the democracies, France and Britain, went soft in the 1930s, and Hitler thought he could get away with murder.
And of course you were the class of 1940.
Yes, I was indeed the class of 1940.
Yes, and that takes us right the way back, doesn't it, to the beginning, many months ago. And thank you very much indeed, Lord Peter Blaker. Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure.